What's up, everybody? It's Sam with the Rowdy Alternative Podcast, and today we're with Lucas from The Sounds of Many. How you doing, dude?
Yeah, I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. I've had you on before. I think, man, it had to have been over a year now. I feel like it's been forever.
Yeah, I think it was... probably about a year ago at this point.
Yeah, man, it's good to, you know, have you back on and talk to you a bit about a lot about your upcoming album you mentioned to me. Can't wait to dive into that. But I guess before that, just like let us know what you've been up to, man. Like been busy. I know it's smack dab in the middle of summer. Didn't know if you've been busy writing, recording, what you've been doing.
Yeah, so we're really excited. We just finished about a month ago with recording our upcoming debut album. It's been just an absolute whirlwind over here at the Sounds of Many camp. And oh man, I can't even believe everything that's been going on. We're ready to hit the road here in just a couple weeks. Gonna start touring for the rest of the year. Got a bunch of dates on the calendar, and we cannot wait to be back out on the road.
Heck yeah, man, that's awesome. So I guess let's just kick it off, man, with your upcoming debut album. I guess first and foremost, let's talk about it. Just like kind of tell us maybe like what can we expect from it, maybe like what kind of sound should we expect. I know, like, I remember listening to you guys, and of course I listened to more of your stuff today, and what I really like about y'all and your style and your sound is it reminds me a lot of that old school kind of whatever you would describe the Talking Heads as, but like more refreshing and you guys centric. So it's very unique is what I'm trying to say. So with this upcoming release, what can we expect it like stylistic wise?
Well, so, you know, we were really, really excited and happy with how our second EP, Ishtar Wears High Heels, how that wound up going. And so we kind of wanted to carry that same type of energy and momentum forward. So you're going to see, you know, a lot of variations on some of the themes that we've already explored. So there's going to be some hard-hitting rock and roll songs, like very guitar-centric songs. There's also going to be some brand new, like really psychedelic songs that we're excited to share with folks. And then, I mean, there's, you know, there's even like a ballad towards the end. So very, very excited to kind of show, you know, some of the more refined songs that we've been able to come up with over the last year and breathe new life into them.
Right on. You said psychedelic there and my ears perked up a bit. I'm a huge fan of like psychedelic music and stuff. And you know, a lot of your stuff has that flavor to it, like already that has been put out. And is there a certain thing that wanted to guide you guys into that creative direction at all?
Yeah, we've always kind of, we've marketed ourselves as a psychedelic rock and roll band, and we have songs that definitely fit inside of that niche. But we kind of wanted to turn that element of ourselves up in regards to this upcoming album and kind of really emphasize, you know, we're very inspired by like the 1960s, the 1970s, the garage rock movements, the psychedelic rock and roll movements of that time period, as well as like some of like the more modern psych sounds that you might hear from like bands like the Brian Jonestown Massacre or like King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard or like other psychedelic rock and roll bands of that ilk.
Awesome. And you mentioned like, so I feel like what's really popping now with a lot of like, at least some of like the more mainstream, newer rock, but whatever you want to call them, I feel like there's a lot of harkening back to like the 70s sound. If you look at, you know, Dirty Honey or even, you know, of course, Greta Van Fleet, those kind of guys. And but the 60s, man, I don't know if we just haven't hit that wave of nostalgia yet. I don't know if it's just going under the radar, but the 60s and even going further, the 60s garage rock sound is something that I think gets kind of passed over nowadays. Like they don't like, it's not really looked at much. It's not really harkened back to. And with that psychedelic mix in with it, that I think that's what creates your guys's unique take on it. because I hate to just keep saying like, oh, you guys remind me of this, because you are your own band. You are your own sound. You're uniquely you. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of point that out. I wasn't really going anywhere with that. I just thought that was interesting because I love that like garage rock from the 60s sound. Like you could, what are some, like, I think of like my mind goes straight to like Louie Louie. That's not really psychedelic, yeah. But the first, you know what I'm talking about?
But I mean, that's garage. That, yeah. I mean, absolutely. But I mean, like, there's a lot of really great garage psych records. There's The Kinks, the Village Green Preservation Society is phenomenal. There's the band called Them, which had
Van Morrison
before Van Morrison went and did his own thing. There's so much good rock and roll from that era, and we kind of, a lot of our members have a lot of, you know, a lot of love that we want to share and be able to recall through some of our upcoming songs that kind of point towards some of our inspiration of that era.
Hell yeah. So I assume then that you guys seem like a band that's not scared to experiment with different things in the studio, writing any real part of your creative method. Is that true? Like, do you find it hard to experiment sometimes? I feel like some artists, it might be tough for them to get out of their comfort zone maybe. And if you do, like when you do try to experiment with different styles, different sounds and everything like that, is it natural? Does it come real naturally to you? Or is it something you have to really like dig in and get it out of you?
I think that this record was kind of all of us being able to experiment in ways that we haven't been able to in the past. And that I'm really proud of, you know, how we were able to innovate on some of these songs. I mean, we, whether it was our keyboard player, Caleb Price, being like, I really want a synth part on this song, and none of us really thought that it would work, and then he brings it out and lays it down, and it's like, okay, this is really killer. Or you know, stripping a song all the way back. You know, we had this song, it's the second song from the end, it's called Kiss the Sun, and when we first wrote it, it was kind of this really chimey 60s pop song, and it just got stripped all the way back, you know, until all it was is percussion and some guitar and our keyboard player playing a Mellotron. And you know, we didn't think that it would work like that, but then, you know, as it started clicking into place, we loved how that wound up impacting the album and fleshing out like this almost more vulnerable side of the band. And we were able to do that in a lot of different places. So on top of that, we were able to kind of, we recorded all of this here at our home studio. And so that gave us a lot of freedom to try all sorts of different things. I made a handmade Leslie cabinet to get like some roto sound. We did some backwards guitar solos where, you know, we took the entire track and just flipped it and then recorded it that way and then flipped it back again, so you get the really old school, you know, reverse guitar sound. And we just kind of said, you know, if we've got ideas, let's throw them out, because we wanted this to be able to be like an album of self-expression and us trying to push ourselves and explore new boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, just you saying all that, like, it's evident that, once again, like the 60s, like, influence on you guys is evident, because, I mean, hell, like, the Beatles, right? Like, they did the backwards guitar stuff. They did it, and they started a song out and then it ended completely differently. I feel like that's, you know, that's obviously every decade, I think, but mainly in that 60s era when things got real weird, you could say. And it's certainly not a hot take to say the Beatles were experimental. Like, that's obvious. But yeah, you know what I mean. But yeah, man. And I kind of want to dive more into your like writing process and stuff like that. And this is a question I love asking the guests on here, is how do you know when a song is finished? Is there something that goes off in your head, like a alarm, like, okay, we're done? I feel like it could be really easy to overdo a song as an artist, just as it's probably easy to maybe not do enough to a song. Is there a certain thing, like, internally that tells you that, all right, we're good to go here?
Well, I mean, that's kind of, you're right. It is a difficult question. I am a songwriter that likes ornamentation. You know, before this lineup, and when I was just doing a lot of this on my own, it was very easy for my sessions to wind up with like 80 tracks, because I would have, you know, pairs of stereo guitars, lots of synths, lots of keys, organ, you know, a dozen different backing vocal tracks, and just like, you know, make it as insane as humanly possible. And that comes from my love of certain psychedelic groups that, you know, really were pushing the boundaries on that. I mean, like there's the band called Love with their album Forever Changes. Obviously the Beatles, they had, you know, over 100 tracks on Sgt. Pepper's. And then I mean Pet Sounds has, yeah, you know, entire orchestral pieces. And I love that. I love how
they had animals
in full. Yes. And I love how that winds up sounding. But I think something that we also were working towards on this album was, we didn't want to pigeonhole ourselves. We didn't want to become just a psychedelic rock band. We wanted to be a rock band. And sure, we have psychedelic influences, we have shoegaze influences, we have garage influences, yada yada. But it's like, one of the things that some of our members were pushing for while we were writing was maybe sometimes less is more. And so not going overboard with all of these other things. And so, I mean, when you're listening to, you know, the, when we were recording and we started getting towards the end of recording, where we had, you know, all of the main instruments, all of the main vocals from start to finish, and we're not hearing any like ear candy, or we're not hearing any ornamentation that would actually contribute to the song, then I mean, that must be it. Then that, there's the song. If it doesn't need anything else, then let's not mess with it, you know, because maybe we add this other thing and it just starts detracting from what the actual song is, and it's no longer helping the song live to its creative potential.
Yeah, could that be something that is difficult for the entire group to agree on? Are you guys usually on pretty much the same page?
I would say that we're almost always on the same page in that regard. There's definitely times where I wanted to put maybe a handful of other things, but then people in the band were like, Lucas, that's just gonna muddy things up. And it's like, I just have to, you know, like swallow my humility and be like, okay, yeah, I think you guys are right. I think if I added that it would no longer be adding to the songs, and ultimately I want to service these songs that we wrote.
Yeah, right on. And when you write, I feel like when you look back to when you first started writing songs to now, I feel like there might be like a template that every like songwriter starts out with, like, this is how I write a song because so-and-so did it this way. If that is true, are there like how quick were you able to shake that? Because obviously everyone writes their songs in their own way. They come up being, they have their own method of doing it eventually. So is it true that like when you first started out, like you felt like it was like a checklist almost, like I need to be doing this, I need to write it down, I need to put it on my phone, I need to do it either way, you know what I mean? And were there any songwriting rules, if you want to call them that, that you ditched along the way?
Oh, that I ditched? Yeah. I don't know. you know, the songwriting process, it is completely different for everybody in the band. You know, we have our lead guitar player, Jake, and our drummer, Brad, who they write a lot of things together. So that way they can have parts where the rhythm is actually being tied together in the song with like the drum grooves and the rhythm that's being presented. So there's times where we have the drums like emphasizing certain parts of guitar solos, and that's really cool. So they write together a lot. I know that Caleb and Bruce, they both write very, you know, on their own. They write things and then they bring them to the team almost, you know, fully completed. And so that's one thing. The way that I write songs, you know, it might be right, it might be wrong, I have no real idea. But I follow a rule that my father told me a long time ago, which is that if a song doesn't sound good with just your voice and an acoustic guitar, then it's not a good song. So that's almost where I start every single time, is just with a guitar and with some vocals. And, you know, I might think of a vocal melody and be like, oh, well, okay, that's cool. How can I complement this with guitar? And then, you know, suddenly you've got chords and you've got a vocal line, and then I just chase that rabbit and see where it winds up leading. Sometimes it leads to a dead end, but you know, that's kind of how I do things. And I would say the number one thing that I dropped with my writing for this was I tried to not have more repetitions of a theme than it absolutely needed. Okay. So, you know, not going back to the verse after verse one just because it's the normal thing to do. Just move on. If there's nothing else that needs to be said, then maybe just go on to something new and then wrap back around or don't touch it again at all. And don't feel tied that, you know, you need to follow, you know, A-A-B-B-A-C-A-B, like, whatever, you know, song structures.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's interesting. And the thing with if it don't sound good with just you and the acoustic guitar, that's, like, very bare bones. I mean, that I feel like that's the right way to look at it. And as a listener, for me, when I listen to really any kind of music, and I sometimes show my ass sometimes doing this, but, like, I'm not a lyric guy. When I listen to music, I focus mostly, my brain, for whatever reason, goes to like the music composition area of it versus the actual lyrics, the words. Mm-hmm. Do you have is that any way with you? Like, do you tend to focus, whether as an artist or a fan, really, of music, do you focus more on the lyrics? Do you spend more time on the music composition element of it, or really just both of them even?
I would say it's like a 60-40 split. I love lyrics. I love writing lyrics. I think writing lyrics is a lot of fun, and being able to, you know, really bare your soul is something that, you know, I think is a, you know, it's a very intimate thing that we can do as musicians, is we can put the experiences that we are currently trying to navigate into words and into a song and bare our hearts to everyone in the world. But I will say I do focus more on the music that's accompanying the lyrics. You know, I cannot think of frankly any song off the top of my head where, you know, if you took the song away and it was just the lyrics, where I would still love it, you know, mm-hmm. if it became slam poetry or something,
yeah.
similar ilk. Whereas I can think of a lot of songs where you could make new lyrics and the song itself would still be an incredible song. Now, the vocal delivery and like the singing, that is absolutely something that can make or break a song.
For sure.
But like the lyrics themselves, I think they're incredibly important, but like I said, maybe they're 40% important whereas the actual musicality of the song is like 60% to me.
Yeah, and I kind of got that from you, just the way you described how you were like how the album came together, and the way you described like how all the instruments like kind of folded like that. I kind of got that inkling from you, man. And it's just kind of funny because Raised Rowdy is like mainly country music, and then Rowdy mm-hmm. Alternative is like everything else. So whenever I'm around the Raised Rowdy people, and they're like, "Hey, what do you think about these lyrics?" I'm like, "Sounds good." I mean, yeah. that's funny, man. But so when we're talking about this record, is there anything that you feel like may surprise listeners when it comes out, when they listen to it? Is there anything that they'll be like, "Oh, wow, this is different"?
That's
been a cliche question. I'm sorry, it's such a cliche question.
No. For pretty much every single song that we've ever released, it's always been me singing on all of them. We might have other band members doing like backing vocals or harmonies and things like that, but you know, we're really excited. We've got two songs that are sung by like main vocals are Mitchell Bruce, our bass player, and then Jake Mauger, our lead guitar player. So you know, I get to kind of take a back seat on the storytelling of those songs, and you know, so there'll be some new voices entering into the sounds of Mini and informing, you know, the creative choices in that regard.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait for that, man. And I can't wait for this record. So I guess before we go here, is there like can you tell us like a name for it? Unless I completely missed it. I believe I didn't get a name for it.
Yeah. So we're going simple. We're doing self-titled.
Hell yeah.
The Sounds of Many.
Awesome.
And we're really excited about it. We've got pretty much everything all completed for it. We're really, really excited to put it out. And I'm sad, but unfortunately I am unable to give the release date.
That's
right,
fine.
Now, but we are I think I can give this we are gonna release a new single for it on August 6th, so we're really excited to put that out.
Hell yeah. Well dude, I can't wait, and I everyone listening, I encourage you to check these guys out if you're looking for something like completely different. Like, and that's what stands out to me the most in the best way possible. Your guys' sound is extremely different and unique and refreshing, quite frankly. So, man, Lucas, before we go also, where can people find you? Just the Sounds of Many on everything?
Yep, we're on everything. We're on all streaming platforms just as The Sounds of Many. We're on Instagram as The Sounds of Many. We're active on Instagram, on Facebook. We're becoming a lot more active on TikTok. Although you might find some more goofy stuff of me on there.
That's the purpose of TikTok.
But we're on everything. And we, to all of the incredible listeners that are watching this, you know, we'd love to come play at your city. We are just about ready to announce tour dates, or maybe by the time this is out, tour dates will already be announced. But we're going to be hitting all across the Midwest, you know, all the way up to Chicago and Minneapolis and all throughout Iowa and Nebraska and Missouri and Kansas and Colorado, and we're going all over the place. So, you know, if you're in any of those areas of the world, we'd love to see you at a show. Love to make your acquaintance and love to have the opportunity to perform our art for you guys.
Yeah, you guys make sure to do that. I know I got to make a show for sure. And make sure to check them out too, The Sounds of Many. You will not regret it. It's great music. And also keep an eye out for this album here coming up. Thanks everyone for listening. Lucas, thanks a lot. This was great
for having me on. I hope that you have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, it was great catching up with you, man. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you guys next time. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? 'Cause baby, I'm dead.
try to make a